Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. It's going to be a wonderful time tonight as we share about how to experience a tangible relationship with God. Of course, as you've been following us, you know that we're threefold in our purpose. One, to help create for you a tangible relationship with God. Number two, that you would receive answers to your prayers. And number three, that you'd be able to have testimonies to share with other people. Testimonies are amazing, and what an opportunity when you have a testimony that's fresh from the Lord, just like we have a couple even tonight, where you can share those, how it'll bless other people. Won't be so religious, shoving all kinds of scriptures down their throat. You'll be able to share a fresh testimony of what that scripture that you have in your heart actually means. Well, we're delighted to be with you again, and as we've been studying about the tree of good and evil, showing you that in the earth there is good, but there's also evil, and we need to be able to decipher between the two. We need to be able to choose wisely, one choice at a time. You know, people, you know, if they make the comment about how would you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Well, how do you change habits and how do you change perspectives? It's just one choice at a time. Now, for those that might say, well, you know, God's grace is not you choosing, that's works. No, God's grace is in operation to empower you with desire and ability. God's grace is in operation to change your perspective on how you see things, but you still make choices according to you being made in the image and likeness of God. God just doesn't do things to do things. He doesn't just all of a sudden find himself, man, I did all kinds of things today. I didn't know that I was doing it. No, we're not automations. We have the power of choice. And when you choose to honor God, and you choose to stay connected to God, the grace of God has freedom and liberty to do amazing things in your life. Well, we always start out with, as you know, our favorite passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30, where it's the invitation from Jesus to have the kind of relationship with the Father just like he did himself. And he starts out in the 27th verse in the Message Bible. Now, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What a tremendous invitation from our Lord to experience the Father in the way that he does. And notice, all of it in summary is connecting or having a relationship with Jesus himself. Well, we come back here to Titus 2, 11 through 12, and through a couple different translations, I just want to reiterate again that grace is a teacher, and grace is teaching us today. Grace, God's influence in your life, God's unmerited favor, God's ability to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Listen, the world is full of influences, and we know that all too well. But what about experiencing the influence of God? Don't you think the influence of God looks just like it did with Jesus on a physical body, where he healed all that came to him and were willing to hear and be healed, and as many as touched him were made perfectly whole? What about Jesus touching people's minds and they would go away filled with joy and they wouldn't go away like the Pharisees left them, where they were filled with anxiety and struggle and toil to try to make something of their life instead of receiving of God's wonderful grace and having God make something of them? Well, look here in the Message Bible. It says, verse 11, God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation's availability for everyone. We're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. When it says we're being shown, that means grace is teaching you, as it says in the New King James Version. It says this new life is starting right now and is whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, appears. Now the Passion Translation says this: God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. This same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our back on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles. And it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. From the New King James Version, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Folks, look at how grace twofold is teaching you. And in each of these translations and any others that you find, you'll notice the first thing grace does is it teaches you about the negativity of the world so that you can turn your back to it. This is so important for you to understand. You know, many, many times we're always, and don't get me wrong now, I am all about saturating your mind and mine with the wonderful truths that we have of in Christ and in Him realities, knowing what our relationship with God means to the way that we should see ourselves in Christ. There's no doubt that that is so important. But at the same time, think about this. You're hanging over the cliff and you're holding on to a branch and it's starting to give way and someone reaches their hand down, but you won't let go to grab their hand. You walk into a room and you're on some type of breathing machine and you need to plug it in because the battery's low, but you won't unplug the other cords that are plugged into the receptacles. Well, that's a recipe for disaster. And that's exactly what grace is trying to teach you, for you to understand how connected you are to the flesh and the world and be able to recognize it enough to turn your back to it and then plug in to your connection with God is exactly how you get your prayers answered. When Jesus consulted with the disciples in Mark chapter 9 over the little boy that was thrown into the fire and thrown into the water and was demon-possessed, and they tried to cast a spirit out but could not, and the father entreated Jesus, saying, "Your disciples tried but could not." And Jesus said, "Oh, what a generation, this godless, unbelieving generation." And the father said, "You know, help thou my unbelief. I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Jesus went ahead and cast out the devil, and the disciples came afterwards and said, "How come we could not cast it out?" Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." And there's a whole lot more to that that I could share. But for the sake of where we're going, let's just stay with Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." And then, of course, it says, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, you don't pray and fast the devil out. You cast the devil out. But the point Jesus was making is when you don't know what to do, but you know that that devil will obey you. Jesus didn't say, "I gave you power and authority over all unclean spirits," for there to be one that decides not to come out. Which means if you don't seem to get that one out with the method of which you've approached to get it out, it means prayer and fasting will sensitize you to the spiritual world, and the voice of God will become very clear to you in the moment when you need His voice and His help. See, the recipe is always turn your back on the world and the flesh and turn your face toward God. That is the prescription. If Jesus, as the doctor, was giving you a prescription, that's what He would say. He wouldn't say, "Just read 20 more chapters of the Bible or pray another 40 hours in other tongues." He would say, "Unplug your cords that are necessary to change your life from the receptacles that are not producing anything. Replug those into me." Well, this is what grace is endeavoring to teach us. So as we go further, let's just keep that in mind. Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 14. And I don't know how I can read it all, but let's just start. It says, "After that, Pharisees and religious scholars came to Jesus all the way from Jerusalem, criticizing, saying, 'Why do your disciples play fast and loose with the rules?' Jesus put it right back on them and said, 'Why do you use rules to play fast and loose with God's commandments? God clearly says, respect your father and mother, and anyone denouncing father or mother should be killed. But you weasel around that by saying whoever wants to can say to father and mother, what I owe you, I have given to God. That can hardly be called respecting your parents. You cancel God's command by your rules. Frauds. Isaiah's prophecy of you hit the bullseye. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't really mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy. He then called the crowd together and said, listen, and take this to heart. It's not what you swallow that pollutes your life, but what you vomit up. Later, his disciples came and said, don't you know how upset the Pharisees were when they heard what you said? Jesus shrugged it off and said, every tree that wasn't planted by my Father in heaven will be pulled up by the roots. Forget them. They are blind men leading the blind. When a blind man leads a blind man, they both end up in a ditch. Now listen to the passage that I just gave you in light of what grace will do. Jesus was demonstrating a grace testimony. I want you to let that sink in for just a second. Do you see all of you that are listening to me, and I haven't looked at the numbers. I would love that they just be a whole bunch of people, because I'd love for people to be able to get their prayers answered. You don't know how many people call me with such a gloomy report of how they cannot get their prayers answered. And the whole mentality is they have absolutely zero confidence of their relationship to God and their ability to believe him. Folks, if you really want the epidemic is that the church cannot find 1 out of 100 people to really believe God. Now, I'm not putting myself out there like I'm the most famous one to believe God, because I'm not. I'm learning all these things at the same time. I've told you on previous broadcasts that one of the greatest words in my life is called repent, because the further you go with God, the more you recognize where you're missing it or what's wrong in your perspective. And then repent comes in, which is to desire to change directions and to change directions. Do you know, changing directions in your repentance to God doesn't mean that you're the one that now is going to come up with the ability to do what you've never been able to do before. Your acknowledgement and recognition of the need for repentance and your desire to make that change is met by the grace of God that empowers you with ability and desire to actually experience the change. I'm telling you, everything is about grace. It's all about God's influence in your life. Come on. Paul talked in Ephesians, he said in chapter 2, about taking two and making one brand new kind of human being. And what kind of human being are we? We are a God kind of human being. God now lives in your spirit. Greater is he that is in you than anything in the world or anything that could ever come and mess with you. These are amazing thoughts, folks. Wow, wrap your brain around it as much as you can and realize that a grace testimony is just as real on the negative side as it is on the positive side, that Jesus just called out all the negativity of these religious people, which I'm telling you, if you don't open up your heart and your mind, you won't see that it's possible you could have some of this religion in you. I'd rather learn it on this side of eternity than on the other side, where at least I have the power of choice to choose to allow God and his ability, his influence, called grace, not only to save me, but to help me in the transformation process of changing. And I love that little Baptist song we used to sing all the time. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. It's always going to be change. Folks, we're growing, we're progressing, and God's not trying to pin you down to perfection unless you begin to one step after the other begin to change. He already perfected you in Christ. Now just let him help you one step after another to make the change. So what we see is we end up with anything religious, and that's what Jesus was calling out, has the ability to be manipulated. Even the word doctrine can become not necessarily the greatest word, because we can manipulate scripture that serves the pride of the individual. In other words, just like individuals finding scripture to support what they actually want to believe, that still doesn't work. Listen, if you don't find the right kind of fruit on your tree, you need to find somebody who knows what's wrong. And God's grace will do it, but you got to be open to it. It goes back to one of the first things I've always said, and right there at the beginning of all these videos, I made the comment, if you want to be right, you have to be willing to be wrong. And what does that say? You got to lay down your pride and forget about trying to be so right and so proudful about what you think is or what it isn't, and forget it. You've been wrong before, you'll be wrong again. So just desire more to be right, which means I don't care if I'm wrong. I just want to learn the process. Let me give you one story here as we're, well, let me give you the other couple. The world in religious history, it's learned behavior. The world in religious history can be very twisted to keep you from experiencing God. You have to be very careful about some of these things. And then your to-do list. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, people approach God with the wrong understanding. Again, calling out this negativity. You say, what do you mean? Well, God's the fix-it all, the do-all. And that's when we come to him, when we need something fixed and we need him to do something. But he's not Father. Remember, Jesus only called God, God one time, and that's when he assumed all the sin of mankind. Because all the sin of mankind, man did not have God as his Father. But Jesus always called God Father. That was the intimacy. But the moment he identified with man as sinner, God was God. Aren't you glad today you can call him Father? He's not just somebody you go to when you need something fixed or you need him to do something. He's somebody that you can experience every single day of your life, and religion will keep you from this and make you running around chasing your tail like a cat does, but never get it. Come on, think about this for a second. What's the purpose of having greyhounds in a race that can catch the rabbit? They never catch the rabbit. They just run after it. That's the game. Religion's exact same way. You never get a prayer answered. You just keep coming to church and paying. It's the game. All right. I may get some letters on this one, but go ahead, send the letters. I'm not afraid of anybody's letters because it all comes down to the right fruit. We want to experience our Lord and our Savior. And I can't tell you how many people that are experiencing him that weren't experiencing before by listening to things like what you just heard. This is a really good grace testimony right here from Teresa. She said, I have a grace testimony to share. I have been really trying to learn to trust God instead of taking on all the care myself and being in fear. This past week, we were out of town when a major storm came through our town. We knew that 85 mile per hour winds were being forecast and they were letting kids out of school. We even had news come up that the Metro bus line shut down because it would be that bad. I prayed protection over my home and property, but fear kept knocking on my door. The next day I called a neighbor to check on our house and it was perfect. Neighbors had lost shingles, sheds, barbecue grills, trees, etc., and our house wasn't even touched. This helped my faith tremendously. Well, you know, Jesus did say it was just a speck of faith. Oh, I'm telling you what, one of the greatest secrets of life is, can you get yourself out of the way? And you do that by giving God all of the value of your heart. So good to be with you on Adventures in Grace. I know the new year's coming up and we want to share some wonderful things that'll be special for you. But if you'd like to go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, that would be awesome. Or go to the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. But by all means, for sure, go to jimhockaday.com and find our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and share your grace testimony, because I know you have them. Until next time, God bless you.